Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. Trade it, sell it, they want it. Go online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com, click on the Sell to Us tab, and get a serious cash offer for your bike. Worth Harley Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport, or online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
There they go, pitch on the way. He attacks and smokes one to deep left. This one's going supersonic. That is out of the ballpark. Whoa! Over the train tracks, it's 3-0 Atlanta.
1-1 pitch. This is struck well to deep center field. Sprinting back as Siri spins around. That one is gone. And right on cue, Freddie Freeman with his fifth home run this postseason. And the Braves now lead it 7-0. 0-2 on the way. Chopper out to Dansby. Dansby throws to first base. Is this happening? It is! The Atlanta Braves are world champions!
And now, a man who is a huge fan of the Jorge Soler trade, Surrend Petro.
Right you are, Jed. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a beautiful Wednesday. A little chilly. It was flat out cold this morning if you were out and about. Mm-hmm. But a sun-splashed, what is now afternoon, has turned into quite the nice day. Not a lot of breeze, so get outside and enjoy some beautiful fall weather. Enjoy the program. Peter Vermees coming up a little bit later on this hour. We'll talk to the manager and technical director of Sporting Kansas City as they get ready to take on Austin FC. Important match, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Better win this one.
Todd Lebo in for Curtis Siebold. We lost him.
He's gone. Where is he?
I mean, he didn't die.
No.
We just
somewhere.
Don't know where he is.
I had it written down he wasn't going to be here, so.
He said, yeah, we don't know what he's doing. You know, just saying he's not here.
I know this. He's either asleep or making money somewhere, because that's all he does when he's taking a day off. So
B.
I hope he's making money somewhere.
B.
Of course.
Yeah.
He wakes up by 2, generally.
He's a talented man. His talents are on demand in many locations.
Yes. And he's making that money.
Make that money.
And the sad part is, he missed a free lunch today.
Oh, he's pissed.
It's just like, you know, he can't
folks,
win.
Folks, Mr. Beavis out there providing a great lunch. Yeah, bummer for him.
It's kind of the way it goes for K-Dog, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. He gets a little something, but he gives it right back.
Right.
You know, that's how it works. So Peter Vermees coming up later this hour. We'll play the feud with Todd Lebo and, as I understand it, Josh Briscoe.
That's right.
Get some Lebo / Briscoe sounds?
Yeah, whatever. We'll have a lot of Chiefs today, and I want to play something from the NCAA. Oklahoma State got their appeal revoked or whatever done, so they're on probation.
Turned down. Or
no postseason for them this year, and this is relatable to what's going on with KU, and Mike Boynton was poignant today when talking about this. We'll hear some of that. And
So Jayhawk fans better be listening in the 3 o'clock hours, what
well,
you're
they
saying.
Should be listening all
you're
the time.
You're not going to want to miss this.
They don't want to miss it. It's a tease, and let's just tease it all the way. Jayhawk basketball tonight.
Right here on Sports Radio 810. We'll get out a little bit early for that.
Not bad.
Just a little bit, though. Frank Bull with us in the 4 o'clock hour, the godfather of Kansas City sports. Seth Kizer from The Athletic in the 5 o'clock hour. And then, as I said, we'll duck out of here a little bit early for Kansas pregame. Big one, Sunfeller Showdown, part uno.
Yeah.
It's the first one.
Emporia?
Yeah. Emporia. KUV Emporia State.
Hornets.
You throw out the record.
Stingers up.
Throw out the records when these two get together.
Emporia is the closest Brahms to here. My favorite little place in Oklahoma.
Right?
The closest one to here. 120 exit 127. Don't get mad at me for knowing the exit number. That's just where the turnpike starts.
What are you from, Jersey?
That's where the turnpike starts, 127.
Everybody in Jersey lives off an exit.
Exit number, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know the exit I live off of. I know the name of the street, but not the number.
Yeah.
And I've gotten off on that road. I don't know how many hundred times.
We live in a significantly less populated state than New Jersey.
I think my exit may be 5.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Don't know.
I don't know. I know I missed it once in the snow.
slid right by it or didn't see it?
I was driving 7 miles an hour.
Was this after you dropped me off coming back from the
Philly? It was worse snow.
Philly?
This was snow earlier, like whatever. We had a foot of snow that one time.
Yeah.
About the Super Bowl. And I was driving home at about 3 in the afternoon, about 20 miles an hour, and I missed my exit. That's how snowy it was. And I'd gotten
off. You didn't see it?
Could not see it, and I knew it was coming. It was great.
That's awesome.
So that's how bad I am with my exit. But I know the Brahms is at Emporia. I think it's 127.
Lebo's a very good snow driver, by the way, just to
point
that out.
Very slow. I drive the same speed all the time. Slow or not.
No, you're good in the snow, especially for a front wheel only. I was quite impressed.
We got us
home. I was quite impressed with what I saw.
When you got the right car.
All we had to do was get the right car that day. And then
oh, God. don't even start on that one. There's a follow-up. There's an addendum to that I'm going to tell you about.
Off the air?
Yes, off the air.
Okay.
So that's what's coming your way. The big news today, Aaron Rodgers out.
Wow.
Not going to play in the game. He's been ruled out by the head coach. Not by the Chiefs head coach. They're still prepping for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to say that might be time wasted.
Yeah.
They're running a lot. You know, are you buying that? The league, he's out based on the protocols, correct?
Yes.
He can't play. Unvaccinated, got to be out.
10 days.
He's not going to play.
No.
So Andy Reid will be making a tactical mistake of magnificent proportions.
Or else he just said something today. Could be that too, right?
Could be.
Could be that. They need to be preparing for Davante Adams and Aaron Jones.
Yes.
That's what they have to prepare for.
That's what they need to be preparing for. Jordan
because
that
Love. Team was good enough to win games without Davante Adams against an undefeated team. So there's a lot to the Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is obviously a Hall of Famer and all that stuff, but he's not alone.
The Chiefs beat a Viking team that I think went to the playoffs in 2019 without Patrick Mahomes and almost beat the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers.
Correct.
Without Patrick Mahomes. And Andy Reid did say it today. All you got to do is look around the league and see backup quarterbacks winning. What was it? Keith Cash who won for the...
Cooper Cash.
What was it?
A Cowboys guy. And then a guy named Mike Davis won a game.
Mike White.
Mike White, not Mike Davis.
I know Mike White.
Trevor Siemian.
Because somebody called him Old Balls.
Old Balls. Old Balls over there. My brother. Yeah.
There's Mike White over there. Old Balls we call him.
Trevor
Siemian,
who I'd forgotten was still in the league.
Yeah, Trevor Siemian winning.
He played. Who else? There was another one that won. So yeah, I mean we saw Chad Henne play important snaps in the postseason.
Old Balls over there. We call him.
Yeah.
Old Balls.
Mike
very,
White.
Very poignant moment. I was at that. I remember looking over there. There's Old Balls. I call him Mike White, former Raiders head coach. That's what I call him. But Raiders in the news as well. Henry Ruggs released.
Yeah, released.
150 plus miles an hour in this wreck with a gun in the car and twice the legal limit. It's a bad combo. Bad combo.
Not good. Not awful. Good. That's tragic.
And the tragic part is the 23-year-old lady was just in her Toyota RAV4, and she's dead.
Yeah.
Died a horrible death.
Yes.
Fiery death. And, you know, Henry Ruggs is not healthy either, and his girlfriend is hurt as well. But, wow, man, lives affected. Oh. Just horrible decision-making. And,
listen, everyone jokes around about how I like to drive fast. I don't drive like that.
No.
No. I'm one that when we get on the highway and we're going in a straight line, I like to get to where I'm going. But the whole street racing thing, no.
Well, and you know, he was driving a Corvette Stingray. You used to have a Corvette. It's fast. It's a fast car. It's fun to drive.
Many moons ago.
A long time ago. But, you know, I said this yesterday. He's a 22-year-old guy. This is not a experienced person behind the wheel, and his best friend in high school tragically died in a car crash. I mean,
that's the kicker right there.
You know better.
That would have been, you think, the part that underscored it to him to be more responsible
but
behind
it's like
the wheel.
Everything. That was 5 years ago. I think 5 years ago. That's forever ago to a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, and then you know, you get money and cars and this, and at 3:30 in the morning, drunk, bad ideas. The Raiders apparently provide car service for players. If they want it or if they need it. I mean, I think that's what teams do now. These are commodities to them. They can't have them out there causing havoc in the streets, hurting themselves, hurting the public.
Well, you know? And think about this, though. How about I got a text from a buddy who said, is this 2019 happening again? In the sense that the Chiefs are getting ready to play the Packers. Remember how we were sitting and lamenting? Everyone's like, well, why couldn't it be you know, that we were playing them when Devontae Adams is out and Alan Lazard is out. And isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got him on my dynasty team, Jed. You'd think I'd remember the name.
Are you? Is this the first season?
No.
Oh.
But first time you've heard about it.
Yeah.
They were out. And now here what happens. Aaron Rodgers is down, which we hope he's healthy. We hope he gets through it.
But for the Chiefs, you'd rather face Jordan Love than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And then now the Raiders, who already have been somewhat in turmoil, but seem to be using that turmoil to rally around the backup coach.
Yeah, had played well.
And play well, now have a terrible tragedy happen in the course of their season. I don't know how you just put that off to the side. And then there's the football part of it, that he's a guy that takes the top off the defense. Mm-hmm. One of the fastest players in the NFL and was really starting to make progress as a receiver and a weapon. And we know he only played one good game last year, and it was against the Chiefs.
The Chiefs at Arrowhead.
So, and you've got two games left with them.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you not want to minimize these things, but maybe things are working out for the Chiefs a little bit more now, the things that aren't in their control.
Right. In 2019, they lost four games, and they were without Chris Jones in two or three of them. They were without Eric Fisher in all four of them, because they didn't lose that year with Eric Fisher.
Right.
They had real injuries that dragged them back. Now, I'm not saying it would have been an undefeated season had those guys all played, but they faced that adversity. This team has faced the adversity of losing Anthony Hitchens for a while, Charvarius Ward for a while, Tyrann Mathieu 1 week with
Frank
COVID.
Frank
Clark for several games. Chris Jones for, what, two games?
Two games, yes.
And now playing with a hurt wrist. There has been adversity faced by this football team.
Plenty of it. And
maybe now they can get healthy, and maybe they can go on a run.
They're in self-inflicted 19 turnover adversity, and they're still 4-4. That shows you that this roster is a quality NFL roster. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's as good as the roster in 2019.
Okay.
Because they've got some guys who are a little bit older who aren't there, and the line is different and new. This is not Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz playing tackle. They're not as good there. There's no question about that. And Sammy Watkins isn't on this team. They don't have a true, like, number two wide receiver. But this is not some rummy roster.
Right.
This is a legit playoff roster with a transformational quarterback who's played his worst football as a pro. If they find a way to have things work out and they find a way to have some things not go well for their opponents, perhaps they can find themselves getting hot at the right time. And we'll see.
If you're in L.A. as a Chargers fan, or Vegas, Denver, if you think you're alive and you're 500, I mean, you just traded Von Miller, so I don't think you really believe you're alive.
I don't think the team thinks you're alive.
Yeah. If you're there and you're going, wait a minute, they've had all this crap happen and we've still let them sit here at 4-4?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not, you know, you're the Chargers, you're 4-3, and you barely got by a game where the Chiefs had plenty of self-inflicted wounds, and they took it away. Jeff Chidea's pet peeve, you know, is just calling them turnovers. He said they're takeaways, too.
Yeah,
you know, let's stand up for the defensive side of the ball. They
some
did something.
Some are gives and some are takes.
Yeah, some are more just dunce moves. But you still got to be there to catch the ball when it goes off someone's helmet. And teams have been there.
The Chargers have not handled success.
They had an opportunity to grab a hold of this division, and they didn't do it.
Didn't do it.
And now it's going to be key for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to make them pay. That's what has to happen now.
You have five games left in the division.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel like they're going to sweep the Broncos. Can they go to L.A. and win on a Thursday night? And what are the Raiders going to be? I mean, I think if they won those five games, and I'm not saying they barely beat the damn Giants, and the Giants were without weapons, okay? So I'm not saying this is some great team, but if they find a way to get things right, and I don't know, I don't think I've seen the evidence of that yet, but if they find a way to get things right and take advantage of those games, those five games right there would be huge in what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Todd, you know that just an incredible mistake was made by a professional sports team in this town.
Which one was that?
An incredible mistake.
Is it the Royals?
Just absolute buffoonery occurred. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll take a break. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
You know, when you're running with Chubbs and Hunt, everybody, you know, the Browns fans are all, that's what we do.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to listen to Peter Vermees. Drop some soccer knowledge on us coming up in our next segment.
It's roughly Sunday.
Big match tonight.
Got that lead Sunday. I thought they were off and running, and they lost. But they got a couple games left here.
I thought they got the lead too early. I'm going to ask Peter about that, because I felt like that goal came so quick. It's like, yeah, we're good. It's what we do.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
They normally do the thing where they fall behind and just go score late.
I mean,
sometimes winning early is not great.
Todd, like what is the, you know, do we need government intervention when you trade away Jorge Soler? You know, the World Series MVP.
It wasn't that long ago.
What were the Royals?
Everybody hated him.
Is this an example of the ineptitude, the fact that they just don't care? I'm trying to think of what else I've seen.
Here's the deal. So the Royals ended up getting Wade Davis back, who they traded away for Jorge Soler. And Wade Davis wasn't any good this year. Now Jorge Soler's got a ring and is World Series MVP.
I believe it's another ring, isn't it? Because didn't he win one with the Cubs?
He did. He was a kind of a bit player on that team. He didn't get to start all the games.
Or did he not? Did Wade Davis win?
No, Wade didn't. Jorge Soler was on the Cubs. They traded him the next year, I think, right? Traded Wade Davis.
What year did the Cubs win?
In 16, and then they traded. Wade Davis made it through 16, I think, and then was traded. He was the first to go.
Cubs won it the year after the Royals? That sounds about right.
Yeah. I think he was. I remember Wade Davis being on the Cubs the next year in the playoffs.
Let me
In 17.
Let me just click this one little link I've got here.
It's hard to remember when they all come and go.
World Series 4-3 over the Indians. Yes, he won a ring with the Cubs.
So Wade Davis got that one too.
No,
Jorge
Soler.
He was on that team. Yeah.
Terrence Gore's got three.
Three. I think Terrence Gore honestly has made more money in playoff shares than salary.
Maybe. Probably look it up.
Yeah. Because he got, you know, World Series losing share with the Royals in 15, winning share, or 14, winning share in 15, and then he got I don't know what the player shares were last year. They might have been down with COVID, and then he got getting one this year.
You cannot want to run Jorge Soler out of town on rails and then bitch when he does well somewhere else.
Sure you can.
He's feast or famine. It's what he's been. Just be happy that a guy that wore a Royals uniform performed well. Like the jealousy
didn't
of like
trade him. What would he be doing right now?
We're not watching on TV.
Yes. So
he was not going to get. And by the way, it doesn't mean that like Steve Pierce was World Series MVP in 2018. Steve Pierce, Pablo Sandoval in 12, David Freese in 11. You know, I mean. David Eckstein in 2006.
Ecky. It is good that the Royals two co
Scott
home
Brosius
run league champions.
Remember Scott Brosius?
Yeah. Was that with the Yankees?
Pat Borders.
Pat Borders hit a grand slam in that one, I think.
I mean, there's Ray Knight, for God's sake, won a World Series MVP. It just does not mean that they now are you know, this is a superstar. He will continue to be feast or famine. Yeah. So just calm down.
He hit 48 homers for the Royals and then did what?
If you want to be upset, you'd be upset that Kevin Seitzer's the hitting coach down there and he was here in town.
Yeah.
If you want to be upset, that's what you're upset about.
But it wasn't super easy for him there either. He had some ups and downs there.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everyone does.
Because here's the deal. You could be a great hitting coach, and if the guys can't hit, they can't hit.
That's right.
They got a bunch of really good baseball players on that team.
Yeah.
And they weren't great all year long. They didn't even win 90 games.
Yeah, but they brought in three outfielders, and Jorge Soler hadn't. He started to hit here. But he kept him going, and Kevin Seitzer gets a lot of credit. So
I mean, they brought in Jock Peterson, too.
Congrats to Seitz getting himself a ring. Good dude.
Oh, it's great for him.
I'm thrilled that he got a ring. And Terrence Gore. Terrence Gore was a fine guy. And Soler. I got no rub with Soler. Happy for him. You know, congratulations. You get a ring.
Congratulations to all of them.
Sporting Kansas City trying for a ring. They've got Austin FC tonight. Let's talk to the manager, Peter Vermes. He joins us next.
The Program with Soren Petro.
He is not a journalist in the normal sense of the word. He's a columnist, and he's a person who dispenses opinion.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we get ready for a big, big match. Sporting Kansas City fighting for the top spot in the Western Conference. Tonight, they take on Austin FC. With us here in the program is the manager, technical director for Sporting Kansas City, Mr. Peter Vermes. Peter, how are you, sir?
Sir, I'm doing well, buddy. Thank you. How are you?
Doing great. No complaints, and certainly excited about the way the season is going. And certainly excited about the race. Do you like having the pressure of, I mean, obviously you want to be fighting for that top spot, but do you like the moment you're in right now, you know, with the position you've got? Certainly health would be something you'd probably like to be a little bit different, but do you like your position right now?
Yeah, look, the guys have worked extremely hard over the course of the season to put us in this place. You know, as I told them when we were getting ready to play Seattle, you know, whatever, 10 days ago, whatever that time frame was, I said, you know, this is the reason why we play the game. This is it right here. These types of games. They're the, you know, arguably the best team in the league, and we're, you know, pretty close, and we're going to go and try and, you know, play them and beat them at their place. That's what we're here to do. That's why we do this. That's what we prepare for all year, to be in this place. And I said, you know, you got a couple ways to look at. You could also look at it and be the last place team in the league, and you could just be fighting for a job. I mean, that's a different type of pressure if you consider it to be pressure. To me, this is the moment you relish. And we're in a good spot, right? We've clinched the playoffs. We've got at least home field in a game. And now it's about trying to improve on that and keep ourselves in good form and hopefully get ourselves in a place where we get some other guys back healthy and let's go.
What you know, I don't want to say what went wrong, right? A penalty kick is a penalty kick. And you know, did you, one, agree with the fact that should be a penalty? I mean, it looks like a pretty good job of taking the flop to me, but it also looked in real time like, okay, yeah, that's trouble. That's going to be a penalty. That ultimately was the decider in that match. What was your view of it?
I think it was a penalty. I think that Amadou Diallo was a red card, not a yellow, on the foul he committed late in the game. So, you know, no way the referees they did a good job in that respect. It wasn't anything with them. I think that we learned a valuable lesson in that game. And the valuable lesson is that when you get down to this time of year, there's a couple things that you have to remember. And that is, first off, even though it's a regular season game, the games are all heightened because of the importance of the points for the teams. And then everybody is playing for something. As I said, if you're last place team in the league, you're playing for your job. So everybody's playing for something at this time. And what happens is that the intensity of the game takes on another level. The referees, and I don't think I don't know if it's a plan. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to say what it is. They start to let the game become a little bit more intense and physical. And so they don't call the same fouls that maybe they were calling early on. They kind of let the game go a little bit, sort of like hockey in the playoffs a little bit at times, right? And you have to understand that when that intensity is that high, and especially when a team starts like they were trying for survival, and you now, like we did in that game, go down 2-1 by half, the second half, more than likely, they're not having a drop-off in that intensity. And either you're meeting it or you're superior to it. And we may have met it at times in the second half, but we weren't superior to it, and we couldn't get the second goal. And so it's a really valuable lesson to know that all of these games, even the ones that are going on now, it's not to have the mentality of, oh, well, there's a different way to look at it too, right? To what I said earlier. And that is, oh, well, we made the playoffs and we have a home field game. So let's just, you know, ride it out until we get to the playoffs and let's make sure we're ready and prepared for that time and I'm healthy and all this other stuff. I don't believe in that. And that's not the way our league works. You need to be informed. You need to be playing in these intense games because they are what get you ready to participate and advance in the playoffs.
Did the early goal maybe kind of work against you? That, like, the team is like, yeah, we got this. Here we go. Does that burn you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, because again, if your mentality, I just think that I think they wanted it more than we did, and that's human nature sometimes because of the situation. I don't accept it, but I understand that it can be prevalent at times. But I guess for me, I'm glad that it happened in that game so that we could really have a discussion about it, which we did, because it's an important aspect of the season. There's no easy games in this league, and especially at this time of year. And so we need to understand, we needed to learn a lesson really quickly.
I know I started out talking about the penalty kick, and so this is not, I'm not doubling back on this, but Elie's had to kind of bounce around back there. Do you like the continuity? I mean, the defense has been pretty good, right? Like, there have been some times where, you know, I know I've been peppering you with questions about your back line. It seems like the continuity's kind of been there, but now you have moving Elie around a little bit. Do you like the continuity back there? Are they playing as well as they can play?
I would prefer to put Elie in the defensive midfield position and have Ismat Marine in that position back there, to be honest with you. But I also have to be really smart the way I brought him back, you know, because he was injured. And so it's been a different process to bring him back. So I left him out of that because, you know, he played the two games before that. And he did really well at Seattle and also the LA game here at home. But I had to be very careful. So it was really, I just rested him. I left him out for that specific reason. But it's important for him to be in our team. So I think Elie does a great, listen, he's done an admirable job at center back throughout the course of the season. Him and Fontas together. At the same time, he does a fantastic job in the middle and midfield too for us. So I would prefer that if I could, but you know, the good thing is we do have flexibility.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. How about the injuries up front? You know, it was great a couple of matches ago when you're winning 2-0 against LA. They show the press box or the suites, and there's Alan Pulido, there's Daniel Shalvey enjoying the match when Johnny Russell's, you know, rocking and firing for his eighth consecutive game, scoring a goal. Hey, great. They're getting healthy. They're coming back. When you find yourself digging for a goal and those guys still aren't in, it maybe takes on a different tone. And it kind of takes on a little bit of a here we go again. You've had some really good teams. They even talked about it on the broadcast that, you know, you get down to the finish line and unfortunately you get stung by the injury bug at the worst time of the year. Where does it sit with Shalvey and Alan Pulido, and how likely are they to be back, you know, for the playoffs?
So Daniel's good. Daniel's good to go. Alan is actually progressing really well. Not just, you know, team speak or whatever, but he's progressing really well. He's out running and he's moving really well. He had a great, post-op. I mean, better than I've ever seen. Just no swelling, no anything, which is tremendous. So he's been accelerated all along. Without some major setback, I fully expect him to be ready to participate. At a minimum in our first playoff game.
Ready to go the full 90?
Yeah, again, that's going to remain to be seen as we kind of build through this and how much time between, you know, because some of it depends on where we actually play our first game. Because it could be 2 weeks. It could be 20 days in between our last game and our first playoff game. So all that time is going to help that. Right? It's hard for me to predict.
You said Shao is good to go. Does that mean that he'll play against Austin FC?
Well, he came in late in the game against Minnesota. Right. So, I mean, he's more than available at this time. It's just I kind of wanted to bring him back, but he's 100% available for the Austin game and going forward.
Yeah, and that's because, I mean, short turnarounds, sometimes it's swelling, what have you, whatever the injury might be, but he's even on a short turnaround, he's good?
He's good. Yeah, he's good. He's really good.
Is it important to get those guys? And I know, like, you're going to take that, you know, hopefully you're taking what could be like a 3-week break, basically, with the international and getting the seating that you'll want. Is that good timing to try to get? I don't want to look past the last two games, but, you know, there is the big picture of getting the chemistry back together. I mean, it would seem like it's a dream line to have Pulido, Shalvey, and Johnny Russell all clicking. You've got three guys. You may have an MVP, the hottest goal scorer in the league, and then the best guy, right, is still in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it would for sure, you know, time is a friend of ours at the moment, for sure. It's definitely a big help. So we'd love to be in that position, but if it doesn't, you know, we're gonna have to figure it out, and I think we will. I think we really will. We got a group that's been pretty focused all season long.
Is chemistry a product of great talent? I mean, these are talented guys, and the chemistry's there when they go out there. And it's when you have lesser talent that you got to try to, you know, bond and get together and have some kind of, you know, Luke Skywalker forces with you feeling about where everybody is, but when you're talented, it clicks.
You have to have good talent, but the key ingredient really is attitude. Because I've seen a lot of good guys on one team, and they can't function because their egos get in the way, you're selfish, all those things. We have talented guys, but they get along and they work hard for each other, and you know, at the end of the day, they want to win more than they want to get theirs. And that's the key ingredient to a group of guys clicking together.
How much do you take a look around, you know, schedule-wise, you know, everybody else, the teams, you know, how focused in were you last night on Seattle and L.A.?
Well, I mean, obviously the result was everything. So that was the big thing. It was a tie or a loss was the best for us. Right? Loss is best, tie is second best. So that's what we were hoping for, it for sure. I'd be lying if I said that we weren't. But at the same time, we now have to focus in on us. We got to keep doing, you know, there's two things that we have to do, right? There's one is we got to do the best we can to secure as much home field advantage through this thing as we possibly can. That's number one. But the other thing is that we also have to just keep playing at our level to keep our form and get guys back into our team like you were talking about before, like the clicking. Like Daniel's been out two games, so he's you know, he's got to get back to his rhythm a little bit. We got to work towards all of that stuff so that when we do get to that first game that, you know, we're good. We're ready to play every role of the ball and we're playing like us. And that's a key ingredient. That's why I say it's not one of those things where you can just say, you know, we're in the playoffs and we're good. All good. We'll just finish out these two games, and it's not the way it works. You gotta keep yourself informed. You gotta keep working. You don't just switch it on and switch it off whenever you want to. I have never coached a player in my tenure that can do that, and I really can't remember a player I played with that could do that. So you have to train. You have to have this approach that when it's there, whether you're training or you're playing a game, there's got to be a lot of similarity to it.
We're talking with Peter Vermees here in the program. Johnny Russell, I know his goal streak ended, but just a great, you know, heady assist that he gets and a smart play. They even noted on the broadcast, not just, you know, maybe playing hero ball and trying to get the goal himself and not just lobbing it back. I mean, he puts it right where it needs to be for Shelton?
To
finish it. Is this the best that he's played since he's been a member of your club?
He was really good in 18 as well. What I'd say what he's been is his leadership has been immense, for the team. Has been really, really good. His personality it's infectious. You know, the guys, they feed off the guy. You know, he doesn't give up. He's one of those guys, you know, he bends, but he doesn't break. And that, along with his play with those two things, have been, superior. They've been fantastic this year. It's probably the best in all around that he's been for us. And he's had some really good moments for us. And then also, like I said, 18, he killed it. He's been good for us, but right now he's doing other things that just help this team.
When he scored a couple of games ago with the right foot and, you know, a goal that, you know, seemingly if I were, you know, a defender having watched, you know, him as much as I've watched him, if you'd watched all the tape of him, you'd be expecting him to cut the ball in, cut back inside and get the ball on his left foot. Is that just, you know, his creativity, or is that, I know, you know, one of the things you guys invested in a couple of years ago was a lot of skill training, right? Like you brought in basically a skills coach. And is that the example of the payoff on that? Or is it, no, just he's always got something in his bag of tricks. And that day he needed the right foot and he scored with it.
You know, this is almost like a layup for me, right? I appreciate the alley-oop here. I'm gonna give this one to the staff, and that is, you know, we do a lot of different stuff, different things in training, and when we work on shooting, one of the things we always do is we make sure that whatever we're doing, we do it both with both feet for each guy, because obviously we want to make his dominant foot, you know, fantastic, and we want to continue to improve on the guy's non-dominant foot. And I really believe that when guys come to us that haven't been here before, I think they always leave us much better technically when they entered here, just because we put such a high priority on that. And I would say that Johnny has a quality, but at the same time, there's a lot of effort and work that's put in by the players through, you know, the creativity of training by the staff, for sure.
Is this your best front line? If you can get everybody out there, this has to be the best front three you've sent out there, and even the depth behind it with Kyrie back there. Is this the best front, you know, attack you've had?
It's there. Yeah, I mean, what with this group, you know, the unfortunate thing is that, you know, we haven't had enough consistency, because it seems like every time that Polito has gone to the national team, he's gotten injured, which has been very frustrating. But I would say, yeah, probably. But what I would be respectful to some of the other years, what I would say is we had some very productive and efficient groups in the past. But this group, from a pure goal scoring ability and just creativity, this is probably the best group.
One other point I want to ask about is Cam Duke. And when he really came on earlier in the year, you could see the speed. He was drawing all these fouls on teams. He had a moment in the game this past weekend where, you know, he was loose. He was on the charge. And it looked like he had some help. And he basically what ended up, I mean, I think really he maybe kind of lost control of his body and the ball and ended up looking like he was trying to go 1-on-3 when maybe he had somebody, I think maybe it was Graham Zusi, but had somebody on the wing that he could have served the ball to. You can see the talent, right? I mentioned how he just immediately, you could tell he was taking people by surprise when he first started playing with the big club. Is the game still, is he still just a little bit, you know, maybe an inch away from, you know, the game for what people would usually say slowing down for him? And if he has that attack here in, you know, a month or two or next year, he ends up getting a good shot on goal.
I would say that, yeah, you're probably right in that it's more along the lines of it's the intensity of the games right now. The young kids, they've never seen it before. So they go out there and they're a little bit, you know, they're a little bit shell shocked when the game kicks off, because they're surprised. They're surprised by the intensity. They're surprised by there's a physicality in the game that it's not like me trying to kill you. There's a physicality of me just when I come in for a challenge with my body. Like, I want to knock you 5 yards, you know, to the side. And if you're not ready for that, you're wide-eyed, you know, deer in headlights is what you are. And I think that happens to some of these younger guys because, like I said, the this time of year and the playoffs take on such a different intensity that those guys aren't ready for. And something that hopefully he's going to learn from in this last game, because there's no doubt there were moments that, you know, he was surprised by.
But there's a huge future for that kid, right?
Look, I always say this. The guys that we bring in, they all have this incredible opportunity in front of them. But we're not signing them because we don't think that they can do something. We think that they can. But, you know, make no mistake about it. It's like, you know, when your kids are playing sports when they're young, it doesn't matter how much their coach wants them to be good or how much their mom and dad wants them to be good. In the end, 95% of that responsibility goes to the person who's playing the sport. And it's the same thing with Cam and all the other guys. They have this incredible opportunity because they're around this, you know, the rest of the players every day. You know, they got incredible role models right in front of them. And, you know, Roger Espinoza, Emilia, Johnny Russell, Graham Zusi, and you got these guys in front of you who do it and have been doing it for a long time. So you can do everything. You can tap into that. You can talk to them. You can watch them. You can do all those things. But you have to do that. You have to do that. And so the sky's the limit for him and all the rest of the guys. But it's what they choose to do with their time here is what's going to make the difference. And then the final piece is that, to your point, when you get an opportunity, do you take advantage of it? Okay, maybe it didn't go so well, but do you still take advantage of it from learning and being prepared the next time in a different way? And that, so much of that responsibility falls on players, the individual player, and not you know, the coach, their parents, or whoever, it falls on the player because they have to be both or all technically, tactically, physically, psychologically ready for that next opportunity.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has extended weekday hours and a Saturday morning walk-in clinic. You can learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Peter, I will start you with this. What's the biggest key to stopping a penalty kick?
Wow. Stopping. You're asking the wrong guy. I tried to score. I think anything I would say is probably not on, but I think today goalkeepers have, obviously, this technology has almost every shot the guy's ever taken, right? So you have that. But probably the big thing is that I think you look at a player's hips. Because when a player usually opens up his hips, it means, you know, he's going to the shallow side. He's closing his hips. He's going, you know, across his body. And so I would say that's what I would look at.
Tim Melia got chipped in the match this past weekend. What was your best PK move?
Just putting it in the goal. That's it. Nobody kind of came up and stutter stepped and did anything. Just ran up, hit it, and walked off. Simple.
I like it. Are you a fan of Austin, Texas?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I've never been there. I'm excited to go there. I've heard great things. I heard that it is and will grow into an incredible soccer destination for sure. I heard the stadium is unbelievable. So I'm really excited for us to go and play there.
Yeah.
I just hate that it's going to rain the whole game.
I have never, never been there, but I hear great things about it. So we'll see what you think when you get back.
I'll tell you when I get back.
Okay. Finally, what's the perfect temperature to play soccer?
You're probably asking the wrong guy, but because I love the heat, but I would say if you could get a game where it's just 70 and no wind, man, what an environment that is.
70 and no wind. All right. Good to know. Peter, great stuff as always. We really appreciate the time. Best of luck tonight, and look forward to talking to you on down the road.
Thank you, Seren. Talk soon, buddy.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
What was the last team to celebrate a World Series on their home field? Great food from Good Sense is yours if you know.